We're heading to Rose Hill on Saturday for the Australian Turf Club. One horse that may not be running is Vanderkemp in race 5. Came up with the outside draw 12 of 12 yesterday. There's a scratching, so it's drawn 11 of 11. At this stage, Chris Lees has told me that it is doubtful running tomorrow, or on Saturday, I should say, in Vanderkemp. He's got two heading towards the Tats Tiara, a race that I will say is starting to really fall away. A lot of the genuine chances are heading to the paddock, but Chris will have Danish Twist for Hugh Bowman and One More Zeta. They'll both line up in the Tats Tiara on Saturday week. We'll talk more about that Group 1 shortly, but let's go to our first guest. None other, gee, he's got a great surname. Richard Bensley is joining us. Morning, Richard.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. You sound bright and bubbly, a little bit better than the last time we spoke a few weeks ago when our listeners would remember you had that bad fall on February 21 at Canberra where you suffered all sorts of injuries, but now you're back riding track work.
Yeah, got the okay to start some track work middle of last week, so I'm thrilled to be back.
How's the body, given that you hadn't been on the back of a horse since mid-February?
Yeah, look, first 3 or 4 days were a bit average, but everything's starting to feel okay now, and just progressing along nice and steady, and things feel good.
Many of our listeners will be going, what in the hell's going on here? You're coming back, you're riding track work, first week back, Canberra, 0 degrees in the morning for track work.
Yeah, look, sounds a bit like madness, but oh, I wouldn't be anywhere else. I love being at Canberra at the track, and, you know, you can always warm up.
Yeah, no, exactly. So just all of the injuries suffered, and what, just remind our listeners the main ones. Obviously, they've all mended now.
Yeah, look, fractured the pelvis. It seems like it's okay, and the ribs are fine. So I'm just progressing along steady into the physio pretty strongly, pretty focused on the physio and the rehab, and trotting canter on a few this week. And see how I feel next week. I might pace work a couple.
Okay, so at this stage, you're only sort of just going on a horse at really slow speed.
Yeah, look, I'm just trotting canter and a few.
Yep.
Just going nice and steady. So no set time frame on sort of when I'll make a return to the races, but I'll just be guided by how my body feels.
Okay, the main thing is that after those first 3 or 4 days, that things have sort of the body starting to feel a little bit like normal.
Yeah, all the muscles that I used to use, I'm using again, are starting to feel how they used to be. So, you know, I just got to get my fitness levels up and be back at it.
Fantastic. All right. So we're looking at probably another 3 or 4 weeks before we might see you in the saddle.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Okay. Good on you, mate. You keep well and keep bouncing out of bed there for track work at Canberra.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks Richard. Time. Richard Bensley there. Samantha Clinton, as we know, had that bad fall among other jockeys at Taree on May 23. That inquiry is going to be on later today. Sam's going. I spoke to her off-air earlier this morning. We're going to have a chat to her next week. She's off to the doctors again, and she's just resting up at home after suffering those injuries on Baz's boy. So let's hope things are okay. But as I say, that fall, the inquiry is taking place at Taree today. So we'll wait and see on developments there. Well, it was a week ago that, well, 8 days ago that we spoke with Toby Edmonds. It was on the morning where the Stradbroke Field came out, and we spoke to Toby about a horse called the Virginian, who was having only its third start in the Stradbroke. What an effort it was. It finished in the placings, and the owner, Stuart Ramsey's online from Tiurunga. Morning to you, Stu.
Good morning. How are you, Hos?
I'm very well, mate. What a thrill for you.
Yeah, no, it's always a thrill when you get a starter in a Group 1, let alone run third and run like he did, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll talk about the horse, but what was your confidence going into the race?
No, he's just a very good horse, that's all. And we thought he ran exactly like we thought he would.
So you thought he could finish, well, he's finished inside the placings, but you felt that he could run up to that, given that you were meeting far more experienced horses.
Yeah, we had no problem with that. I told Harry Mitchell 6 weeks ago we were going to start him in the Stradbroke, we got a chance.
Okay.
He thought I wanted to go and see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, well, the horse, the psychiatrist, got the money on Monday. It might have come a little bit late for you, Stewie. tell us a little bit about this three-year-old. Where did he come from?
Well, we bred him. I bought the mother as a weanling at Lexington when she was a weanling about 4 or 5 years or 6 years ago. And she's out of one of the best families in America, Surfside and Flanders. I think the champions, the grandmother won a group two. She unfortunately didn't race herself because she injured herself.
Yep.
And this is the first foal, so it's worth quite a bit to when he's group one placed, you know.
Yeah, understand. The dam is Redwood Dancer, an American dam, as you mentioned, and by the stallion Hinchinbrook, which,
right.
Well, they're really starting to kick up now, Stu, aren't they, the Hinchinbrooks?
He's a matter of stand. He's got the right factory to make there, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And he's got to look at the way Smith was going, and Hinchinbrook, you know, has probably got more scope than the other horse, you know.
Yep. His first trial was October of 2015 last year. So
yep.
At that stage, did you feel that you had a nice horse?
Well, I said to Harry, he's a handy horse, this fellow. And because they were all itching to go, and Harry said, oh, I don't know. So he might have got different reports from me. But no, we always thought he had potential. He had plenty of speed. How far he was going to carry it was the thing.
Who trained him back then? Stewie?
Peter Snowden.
Yeah, Peter Snowden had him, and he's ended up...
kicked in the face then. Yeah, Paddock when we were spelling him.
Right.
And I said to Peter, I said, I think we'll move his horse up north, you know, because he's going to take a bit of time, and that's why he's only had the four starts, and he's a rising four-year-old, you know.
Yeah. So just going back, he got kicked in the face while spelling, did he?
Yeah, we got to... get a bit of rotten bone out of his head and all that sort of thing, but that doesn't stop him from being a good horse.
No. And when did that happen?
No, oh, I can't remember now.
Was it before? Like when?
I think after his first trial, I think.
Yeah, okay. Which was, as I say, October of last year. So he's gone to the Gold Coast. He's won his first start there by over three lengths.
Yep.
And you probably thought, gee, yeah, I'm not surprised.
He ran 32.3 or something for his last 600.
Yeah.
You know, they rarely do that.
Okay, he had another run at the Gold Coast where he picked up a lot of ground. Then he won again at the Gold Coast in May. And at
that stage,
did you feel that you'd like to have a crack at a Group 1 during the winter?
Well, it didn't worry me, but Toby was the one that ended him, even though he blamed me.
He did.
Toby ended him himself because he thought he had enough ability, you know.
Yep. There on Saturday, he settled a long way back, and he actually followed the first and second horses virtually all the way, didn't he?
Yeah, until the 700, and it was probably my fault. I said to the girl, I said, if you're well back at the 700, you want to start getting on your bike a bit. And she pushed up outside the eventual winner. He actually headed him on the turn. But if you sat and followed him, it might have made things a lot more interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Now, after the race on Saturday when it ran third in the Stradbroke, the Virginian, the word was that there were some offers, but they won't be happening.
Well, the horse was vetted last Thursday, and they didn't want us to start him. And I said, well, there's no guarantee that you blokes are going to pass him. And I wanted an answer off John Moore, and he actually passed the x-rays and everything. He had it, or the vets passed him, and John knocked him back because he didn't have time to be blooded and that sort of thing. And he was buying him for a syndicate, John told me on Saturday, and he wasn't prepared to take the risk with him. And but I wanted to start him in the Stradbroke. If the deal fell over, we were a long way behind, weren't we, you know?
Yeah. Well, the deal,
so
thankfully...
deal fell over, and then everyone started to make offers. And then they found out that John had knocked the horse back. So when John Moore knocked the horse back in Hong Kong, there's not too many others want to buy him, you know?
Yeah, I understand. He has undergone an operation?
Oh, when he was healing, that's why he did it for the sales.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in his stifle.
Yeah,
but there's nothing wrong with him.
No.
Well, he only got a little ways racing.
Yeah, exactly. So the decision's been made that with no offer now, that the horse spells and will be aimed towards the spring. Is that what the intention is?
Oh, there's still a few other blokes looking at him.
Right.
But at this stage, we're spelling him. He'll only spell for 3 weeks because he's a bit like his breeder and owner. He puts on condition pretty quick. But you'd know something about that too.
Yes, I do, yeah. No need to go there, Stu. I think most of our listeners know how big I am, mate, and they probably know how big you are too, mate.
I'd say so.
Yeah. But
anyway, we're lucky to have a fast horse. That's the main thing.
Yeah, exactly. So spells for 3 weeks. The immediate reaction from many was, gee, he's going to be hard to place, but you don't think that, do you?
Well, my first reaction to that is that I'd rather be trying to place a fast one than a slow one.
Yep.
I've had plenty of that to go to Alice Springs, and they all cost you money.
Yep.
I'm sure we can find a race for him, but these plate races where he set weights, he gets in very good anyway. But we're looking more at the better races anyway, the under conditioning runs. It's a bit like if you want to win at the Olympics. You've got to get in with the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Run against him.
At his fourth start, he's ran third in the Stradbroke at 1,400. How far do you reckon he can get in a distance, Stu?
Well, I thought he might have got a mile, but I don't know. I think it might be a mile.
Yeah.
He's pretty brilliant. He's bred on a similar cross to that filly that absolutely blitzed him in England in the three-year-old race yesterday, just Cat Daddy.
Okay, yep.
And she blitzed him. I don't know whether you saw it, but I'll never look at it.
Well, mate, it's a great story. We certainly will be following wherever he goes, the Virginian. I hope that maybe those offers don't happen and you can keep him, Stu, because, you know, as a breeder, I know you search for a good one and whatever, and you've got one. I hope you can own it and keep racing it and enjoy it.
Well, that's our attitude, really. And we really don't want to sell him, but at the end of the day, we're breeders, and you get offered big money for something, you've got to take it. You know, you've got to make the place profitable. And as you know, we try to breed winners. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, mate, thanks for giving us the Virginian story, Stu. Enjoy the day, mate.
Good on you, Andrew. Same to you.
Stuart Ramsey there from Tjurunga Farm in the Hunter Valley, the owners of the Virginian, who ran so well in the Stradbroke. Michael Costa's online. He's been up at the sales for the Magic Millions, but he's been back and he's gone out and had a look at his nice horse, Manea. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. How did you go up at the Gold Coast? Did you sneak away with a couple there at the sales?
Yeah, we did. I bought three yearlings and actually one trial horse as well. So it was pretty successful sales. And obviously on the back of Manea, a few more people know your name and want to be a part of the stable. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you gave the horse a spell and it might still be out there. I'm not too sure on that. But after the impressive impressive Scone win, you decided to spell straight away.
Yeah, she did. She was a filly that still doing a lot wrong, and she was just over the top going into that race as well. So we tipped her to the paddock. She's had 3.5 weeks. Initial plan was to go into pre-training this week, but we've brought it forward, and she went into pre-training yesterday.
Right.
She's going to have a week on the water treadmill, and then she'll be back in the stables on Monday.
That tells us that she's enjoyed the spelling paddock.
Yeah, she has. She's put on a lot of weight and condition, but it's a little bit bizarre to look at her because the scale showing one thing, but she still looks fit and she looks very well.
Is she one that her body has changed, the shape of it, just in that little amount of time?
Yeah, and that's another surprising thing, is only having 3.5 weeks and to put on over 40 kilos, but she's really widened in the chest. She's put on a lot on the shoulder and the neck, and I believe she's popped in the wither as well, which is still surprising me for only this short 3.5 weeks.
Okay, so in that time, she's put on, as you say, up to 40 kilos. She goes back into pre-training, then back to you. You're starting to map out sort of what the intentions are?
Yeah, I'm not going to rule anything out, but one thing I've planned for her, I think she'll be restricted at this stage to sort of 1,200 and 1,400 metre races. I don't think she'll get to the mile this preparation. So we'll just aim for potentially look at a few of those early fillies races over the 1,200. And if she steps up, then who knows where she'll go.
Yeah, who knows? The explosive speed is the most exciting thing. That's the one thing that I think most of us can't wait to see again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's scary to think that just looking her in the paddock, she has improved. So very exciting times ahead.
How you've got your base, obviously, here in Sydney and the Gold Coast. How's the Gold Coast going for you?
Gold Coast is outstanding. Almost every runner we send around is just about winning. It's really enjoyable, and sending a few more up there and looking to build the team up there in the Gold Coast. The horses just thrive when they get up there, so it's been a great move. It could have been a disaster, but the way the horses are running, I'm very lucky to have a very good foreman up there, which has been down with me in Sydney for a couple of years. So that was half the battle, but it's all falling into place, and Very happy and very thankful for the support of the owners for sending their horses up to the Gold Coast also.
Sounds like you're enjoying it under the new breed racing term. I hope it's a good time coming up for you, Mike. Continued luck, and we'll stay in contact with Manaya.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Michael Costa there with the latest on Manaya, who was that impressive winner out at Scone when she reeled off great sectionals to win. I mentioned at the start that this Tats Tiara, the Group 1 on Saturday week in Brisbane, is dropping away. Well, just running through a few that may have been in some thoughts of running there. Perfect Fit, the four-year-old mare trained by Kenny Kelso out of New Zealand. They've decided to go back home and spell and aim towards the Sydney Autumn. That was after she finished well back in the QTC Cup. Traveston Girl for Tony Gollan. They've decided to retire her to stud. Badawea, the four-year-old or rising four-year-old for Mick Price. She ran in the Sangster. She's in the paddock. Eloping has gone to the paddock and maybe even off to stud, talking with Peter Roble this morning. A press report is one that's going there, ran ninth in the Glen Logan, certainly felt the heavy track at Doomben. She had a freshen up. She's now been back in just over a week, and Ryan Wiggins will take the ride in the Tats Tiara. As I tell you, Danish Twist and One More Zeta are going to be lining up in the race also, and Artistry, who was very good in the Dane Ripper, is another one that's heading there. But it might be smallish numbers. David Ellis is joining us now from New Zealand, the owner of Extravagant. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Andrew.
I need a sip of water, mate. Can you tell us how's Extravagant doing in the spelling paddock?
Well, he's had a month spelling here at the farm, and for the last 3 weeks he's been in pre-training here at Tiark, our stud, and tomorrow he's going back to our stable in Matamata to be prepared for a campaign in Melbourne.
Is he one that does put on a bit of weight?
Yeah, he's a pretty bomb-proof sort of colt to train. He's just loves being handled. He loves eating, cleans everything up. He's an easy horse to put weight on, and he loves his work. So we're lucky that he's got a good temperament. So, you know, he's pretty bomb-proof.
I guess the main thing is that he spells it to where you are at Tiaka. I know that you can keep an eye on him, that he doesn't get away from you and put on too much weight.
No, that's right. He's he just looks terrific, actually.
Yeah, fantastic. Have you had a chat about what the possibilities could be?
Yeah, we'd like to bring him to Melbourne in early August and probably give him a trial, and then kick him off, all going well, on the 27th of August at Caulfield in a Group 3 1100. And then we could look, all going well, at going to a race like the Bobby Lewis at Flemington. And then we could go back to Caulfield for a race like the Sir Rupert Clark, and then the Toorak, and then the Cox Plate have all went well.
Okay, so slowly stepping him up in trip to trying, I guess, keep him a little bit fresh for if you get to a Cox Plate.
Well, I think that we're not 100% certain whether he'll get the distance of the Cox Plate, but being by Pentire out of a Zabil mare, we're going to give it a crack.
Yep.
He's started to settle as he's got a bit older and work. I think it's unfair to judge the horse on his run in the Australian Guineas. I think clearly that day we got the riding instructions wrong, and I think the fence wasn't the place to be. Mm. And but I think that there's a good chance that he could finish up in the Cox Plate and around Moonee Valley, who knows. But we're going to have a crack.
Yeah, that's the main thing, David. You have a crack and you test the waters as much as you can going through the preparation, and those races are going to tell you how you are going. The key with Extravagant is that he will settle better, Dave.
Yeah, well, we did deliberately settled him at his last start in the Group 3 at Tirapa, and he came from third or fourth position off the fence, and he put a pretty good margin in the opposition that day, and he's a pretty exciting horse, and he's still a colt, so he's got a lot of the studs in Australia and New Zealand are very keen to stand him, a lot of interest in him, so now we've got to just take him to the next level and win a group one, group two in Australia.
Yeah, understand. Gives you that chance of either doing a deal here or obviously back home. So that's extravagant. We're looking forward to seeing him again. The stable's just so strong, and it's not just so strong in New Zealand, but you've got your base in Singapore that also, Dave, is going extremely well.
Yes, Mark Walker is the trainer up in Singapore after winning 5 premierships in New Zealand. He won his first premiership in Singapore last year, and he's again in front in the premiership in Singapore this year. And it's a great place for people to race horses. The government and the racing club are very good to the owners, and it just works really well for us. But this year our goal is we've bought some really nice horses, and our goal is to bring them to Sydney and Melbourne and to have a good crack at some of those good races with these colts and fillies.
Okay, we are obviously seeing your name through the Karaka sales, but you've been very prominent in our Australian sales. So you're hoping to bring those horses to race, as you mentioned, Sydney and Melbourne?
Yes, definitely, Andrew. We've bought horses. I bought a Smart Missile filly privately last week for $825,000 from Arrowfield. She's a filly that is out of a daughter of Miss Finland, and she's a filly that we bought to target major two-year-old races in Australia for certain.
Okay. And will it be trained out of New Zealand, or are you looking at setting a base up here?
No, we're not. We're looking at bringing horses to the carnivals much more frequently to race. Our trainers in New Zealand, Jamie Richards and Steve Ortridge, are currently 5 in front in the premiership in New Zealand, and we definitely have tried to buy horses this year that will be up to campaigning them in Melbourne and Sydney at the carnivals from a New Zealand base.
Okay, well, that's exciting for us. What about this horse, just finally, Heroic Valor? It's a Fastnet Rock that's 3 from 3, Dave. Has it got a bright future that we could see that horse in Australia?
Yeah, our program with him will be to go to the Hawke's Bay Guineas and then the New Zealand 2000 Guineas, and then we'll spell him, and he'll definitely be in Sydney in the autumn.
Okay, so Sydney autumn, all right. So it's certainly one to jot down, listeners. Heroic Valley, you can go on the New Zealand webpage and have a look at the 3 wins so far. They've been very impressive. David,
yeah, Heroic Valley's a half brother to a Doncaster winner.
Okay.
Triple Honour.
Yeah, Triple Honour, yeah, yeah.
And he's actually the only Group 1 winning Fastnet Rock colt or filly as a 2-year-old.
As a 2-year-old, okay. Yeah. Righto. All right, well.
And he's shown enormous natural ability. And this year we went back to the sales and bought his full brother. And he's also broken in quite impressively. And we're pretty excited about him too, Andrew.
Well, it sounds like you're building a team. We're going to have to watch out for your Tiako and Nick colours by the sounds of it when you get here in the spring and into the autumn. It's an exciting one. I can hear it in your voice that you're confident that you've bought the right horses, and obviously on the top of Extravagant and others, that we're going to see you a bit more than what we have in the past.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Dave. We appreciate your time. We'll stay in contact with the trainers and yourself as we count down to the spring.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good on you, Dave. David Ellis, leading New Zealand owner. Exciting times ahead. We're going to see a bit more of their colours for sure. Exciting times for Port Macquarie on Sunday. We return racing there after a long spell with a new track there. And Racing New South Wales, Dave Hodgson, had a big play in that. Morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Andrew.
Exciting, mate. I guess, you've done all the hard work and now you want it just to race well come Sunday.
Yeah, that's the plan, Andrew. Unfortunately, the weather might have a say in that, but hopefully we get a good day. We don't get this eastern low that they're saying we're going to get.
Yeah, look, as we spoke with Michael Bowman from the club yesterday, the grass is still immature. It needs bedding down, I guess, like Eagle Farm needs it. You don't want it to be rained out on the opening day, do you?
No, we don't want it to be rained out. But then again, you know, there's so much excitement in the Port Macquarie area. People have been asking me for months now when racing's going to recommence. So we really do want to give them a day to start racing back up.
Understand. Tell us a little bit about the surface. What's the makeup of it, Dave?
The track is... I heard Michael yesterday talk about a perch water table. For people who don't understand it, that's a gravel layer underneath the growing medium, and that gravel layer actually holds a little bit of moisture so the root system can go down through the growing medium and utilise that water in the bottom, so we get a nice deep root system. The turf type is Kaikuyu, and it's a male sterile Kaikuyu, and if the listeners remember, about 4 years ago, I was put in charge of resurfacing part of the course proper at Newcastle. The Kaikuyu we're using came from the same farm as that grass that went on the Newcastle track. So we know it's a proven Kaikuyu that works on race courses.
Understand, and that's really what you need. Is it a case of you've had the jumps out and a couple of gallops on it, that are you happy where it is right now going into the first meeting?
It's as good as it could be, given it only got... The turf only got laid in November and December of last year, so it's as good as it could be. Obviously, we're spacing our race meetings 1 month apart.
Yep.
And then when we hit the spring, the growing season in September, we'll amp the fertiliser program up again and get it growing, and hopefully we're back to normal racing for Port Macquarie.
Well, let's hope the weather is okay, that band of rain doesn't hit the area come the weekend, but we can't wait to see it in a racing manner. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, Albury may be your next one. Peter Volandi's telling us this morning more than $1 million to be spent down there on drainage and a lot of work on the course proper. Are you moving to that one next?
Andrew, you know I'm all over New South Wales. You see me everywhere. I'm actually currently at... on the way to Lismore to do a flood audit due to the flood. But yes, I've been on the Albury track. We are recambering sections of the track because the cambers are ordinary, to say the least. And we are, as John said, putting a new 1500 and 1450 start in because the starts at Albury are probably some of the worst in New South Wales.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to that work at Albury to start late August. So we can't wait to see it come the cup time next March. Good on you, Dave. Good luck with Port Macquarie. I hope it all goes well.
And, Andrew, just hang on a sec. I'd like to thank you. A few weeks back, you allowed me to get on and talk about the apprentice positions in New South Wales that we've... Racing New South Wales, we're going to employ 27 apprentices. Well, thanks to what you did and what other people did out there in the workplace, we had over 500 applicants.
Fair dinkum.
So that's all going ahead in the next few weeks.
I'm blown away by that, Dave. 500?
Over 500, yes.
Well, I'm so glad, because I must admit, promoting it, I'm thinking, what is going to be their reaction? Will people... jump into it? But by that, for 27 spots and you've got 500, you've been totally inundated, which is fantastic.
Yes, and my eyes can tell you how hard it was, because I read every CV.
We look forward to getting those postings done. Dave, good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, Andrew.
Dave Hodgson from Racing New South Wales.